Amen. This morning, after such a busy week, we just want to focus on Jesus this morning. So let's just leave all the things behind that we came with, all the things that we've been thinking about all week, and just try and focus on Christ this morning as we sing these songs to Him. Amen. So it goes, I sing praises to your name. I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. Let's sing together. I sing praises to your name. I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and great. I sing glory to your name. I give glory to your name. I give glory to your name. Oh Lord, glory to your name. Oh Lord, for your name. For your name is great and great. Father, we sing praises to your name this morning. For your name is great and greatly to be praised. Okay, so welcome. So last week we weren't here, we were in London. So once a year, sorry, can you just reduce the volume just a tiny bit, it's echoing just a bit, sorry. Yeah, so last week we weren't here, we were in London, because every year, once a year, we all the churches that belong to this denomination, we meet at our headquarters in London, for the convention week. And for me, that week, so I was in London all through that week. It was a very enjoyable week. But one thing that just, for me as a pastor, just keep, well, anytime we make that trip on the Sunday, or that we're in London on the Sunday, something just keeps ticking in my mind that I have to like push out. And that is, how about if people who have never been here before decide that that's the day they are going to turn up and we're not here? So then I'm like, God, just apologize on our behalf. So I think the next time I'm going to put a, we'll do a sign and put a sign out there so people have the sign and that says, come back next week. Sorry, we're on holiday. We'll see no one here. Well, I'm sure people will kind of like know that we're not here and they'll make their way here another day. All right, so today we're looking at a new series that I called Parenting. We've got about 3 more weeks left in this month. Next Sunday is Mother's Day, so we're looking forward to that. But apart from next week, we'll be looking at parenting. So I'm going to look at it in 2 parts. And again, it's not like one of, it's not trying to teach us how to be parents, because I believe that a lot of us parents and, well, a lot of parents that I know have, you know, really done their best as much as they've known how to. And parenting is a tough job. And they don't really send you to a school of parenting. You just have kids and it's like, well, you have to get on with it. However, I realized that the Bible has an answer to all the parenting questions that we have. Actually, the Bible has the answer to all the life questions that we have. It's just that sometimes, you know, we don't really see the Bible from that perspective. We might say, look, I'm going to ask my grandmom how she sorts out kids so she can educate me, which is fine. Or I'm going to ask my dad, what do I do with this guy? That, you know, how do I? And it's good that we get all these advice from people who've been there before, which is really helpful. But the Bible has a lot to say, which will really help us to understand the core of parenting and how to do it in a way that brings out the best in our children. I remember when our son was born. This was about, he's a big guy now, he's 22 now. And I remember the day in the hospital when he was delivered. You know, I was actually there, by the way, and I didn't faint. Some people were like, some men were like, I'm not going to be there, I don't want to faint. When, you know, I said, no, I'm going to be there. So I was actually there, and, you know, this guy was born, and I looked into his eyes. And at that point, something happened to me. It was mixed with, it was a feeling of joy. It's like, wow, I have a son. And the other one was a slight feeling of helplessness. And I felt like, man, what do I do with this? what do I do with this baby? I'm barely an adult myself. So I felt that way a bit. But again, you know, we thank God that God always, you know, he's always there to help us, you know, and all that. So we're looking at parenting, and I'm going to make 3 points this morning that will really help us. And even if we're not parents now, we're going to be parents to be, or we have people who are parents around us, who we might also be able to advise, maybe as aunties, uncles, or as grandparents. So the information is good. So even if we're not parents at this time, it will still help us. Now, the first thing I just want to point out here is this. Like I mentioned, I'll look through 3 points this morning. One thing that we need to really take to heart as parents, or that parents need to take to heart, is parents need to value their children the same way God values their children. Now, what do I mean by that? I'm going to read 2 portions of scripture here, then I'll explain what I mean. Psalm 127, verse 3. It says, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him. So the Bible says children are a heritage from God. So children are God's gift to every individual, irrespective of how they've come. Children are a reward and they're a gift from God. The second portion of scripture that I want to read is from Matthew chapter 19 and verse 14. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 14. It says, Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. So Jesus was in a gathering with adults and he was preaching, healing some people, and some children were coming up to him. And his disciples probably said, oh, no, kids, this is serious business. They're adults here. You guys go and play in the background in the garden. We don't want any disturbances here. And Jesus made a point. Jesus said, no, let the children come to me. Because this is how the kingdom of heaven is. But that's not the point that I want to make. The point I want to make here is this. Jesus values children greatly. And that portion of scripture tells us that we need to do the same. Now, let me try and explain what I mean. Pop culture, again, this is my opinion. Pop culture, popular culture, I believe doesn't really value children that much. Oftentimes, popular culture makes it seem like children are a burden. And there are times I've come across people and they're talking about children. It's like, oh, they're like, when you have kids, maybe they've just gotten married, and they're saying, and they're having the conversation, you better enjoy yourself now, you know, you as a young couple. When you have kids, that's it. Your freedom is gone. You can't do anything. You can't do all that you want. And I'm like, hang on. Is that one of our kids there? So I'm like, hang on. What do you mean? In my mind, your freedom is gone. So it's as if when kids arrive, your life is over. You are bound to perpetual hardship. Do you understand? And it's like, do everything as a young couple, or don't have kids soon, because once the kids come, that's it. You can't do what you want. I'm like, hang on. Or let's even take it on a lighter side. Our children come to us and they want to, like, maybe talk to us, or they have something serious on their mind. Maybe they're 10 years old, 11. And sometimes the perspective we have is, look, don't bother me now. Mom's busy now. I haven't paid my bills. I need to sort this bills thing out. And the child is coming to the parent. Maybe they have homework problems, or maybe something happened to them at school, which to the parents is like, in the parent's mind, is it going to pay my bills? Is it something serious? If it's not, I don't have time for you now, child. And we often will just treat children as if they're just an add-on. They're just these people that need to be endured, and you just bring them up the best way you can, without allowing them to bother you in any way. Do you understand? So that is the tendency that we have. That kids are just, they're just there. Or maybe your child comes to you. When I say your child, I'm not saying you, I'm just using that. So I don't want anybody to feel guilty. A child comes to you and they're like, you know, trying to say something, and you're like, excuse me, will you get out of here? Can't you see that I'm busy? And we talk to them as if they're like, they have no value. Now, I know kids can be a bit annoying, but they're kids. So what am I saying here? There's a way that we can deal with our kids that give them value, while we still affirm and we deal with their kiddie behavior until they grow up. But we need to begin to value kids in such a way that we do not take them for granted. We give them what I call childhood dignity. We don't talk to them as if they are nothing. Get out of here, you whatever, whatever, whatever. Or you are so whatever, whatever, whatever. Because kids can be annoying sometimes, but Jesus doesn't view them that way. Jesus doesn't tell them, get out of here, you XXXX, you know. No, he doesn't. So what am I saying? The first thing we need to realize or to take to heart is that children are valuable. God holds them very dearly to his heart. In fact, there was the most severe threat that Jesus gave in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, had to do with children. And he said in Matthew, he said, if any of you misleads these children, it's better you take a rope, tie it to a stone, tie it around your neck and drown yourself than you let me get my hands on you. So we begin to see that Jesus takes children extremely seriously. Extremely seriously. But popular culture just tries to wave children off like, you know, they're a burden, they're, you know, just causing me not to be able to do all I do. I have to do, you know. Jesus does not view them that way. So the first thing I want to mention this morning is that we need to have a perspective that really values children. I'm telling you, we need to. And for us as a church, that's one thing that we do very daily here. We don't take our children for granted. We know that sometimes they scream and all those things, but that's understandable. But for us as a church, the value we have is that we treat our children with dignity. We deal with them firmly. If they misbehave, we punish them, like, you know, face the wall. But even when you say face the wall, you're like, you're going to face the wall because you've done X, Y, and Z. So we treat our children with dignity. I remember when, you know, for a lot of people who are new to, like, the church here, this was years ago, and there's a family that just started coming to the church then, and my daughter was around, and I was addressing my daughter, and I said, how are you doing, Sister Tisha? Can you please get that thing for me there? I think she was maybe around 14. And he told me this after. This gentleman told me, hang on, why are you addressing your daughter like that? I said, well, because even though she's my daughter, I have to honor her. I have to give her the dignity that she deserves. So you realize that even when our kids are growing up in church, even these little ones, that's the apostle over there with his mom, at 1, 2, 3, we address them very seriously. We call them, well, here we call one another brother and sister, but you don't have to if you don't want to, because that's what the Bible, you know. So even the little ones, we treat them with real respect. So we have the apostle, we have the drummer there, look at him. So we will correct them, we will discipline them, but we do not just treat them as if they're a burden. And the reason for that, I believe, is that as they grow up and they realize that, look, my parents treat me with dignity, even though I'm wrong, they punish me and all that, but they do not talk to me or treat me as if I am a non-entity, as if I'm a worthless burden on them. It helps their self-value, and it helps them to appreciate themselves that, yes, God really values me as well. My parents value me. My parents just don't see me as like a burden. And it does something to the confidence of the children that we bring up. So the first point I'm making this morning is we need to really value our children and see them the way God sees them and treat them accordingly as well. The second point I want to make here is this. I have 3 points this morning. We should not bring up our children on autopilot. Now, what do I mean by that? Autopilot is this. This is my term. Autopilot is you as a parent, wake up in the morning, it's time to take the children to school. You take them to school, it's time to feed them, you feed them. Have you had your dinner? They have their dinner, they sleep, the next day, repeat. The next day, you repeat, the next day, repeat. So autopilot is a situation where we do not reflect and sit back and say, okay, this child, this daughter, this son of mine, where are they going? What is God's plan for their future? What is it about? What are the things in this person, in this child, that I need to nurture? What are the things that I need to clip? What is this person going to be in the future? So at that point, we're sitting back and we're really considering the life of these children ahead of time. We're not just going through the motion with them, just barely getting them through life. And at the end of the day, we have not really reflected to say, okay, this person, what is their gift? Really, what does God have for this child of mine? So that we can direct them in a very conscious manner. That's what I mean when I say we shouldn't bring up our children on autopilot. There's a portion of scripture that I'm going to read here, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. God was saying to Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So God was telling Jeremiah here that, look, before he was even conceived, God already knew what he wanted him to be. He had ordained that this young boy would become a prophet. So God was saying, look, your life is not just a random life. Your life isn't just one that is do the best you can and see how life treats you. No. God has a plan for every single child. He has a plan for you as well. And God begins to say, look, this is where you are at the moment, but this is the plan that I have for you. Now, how does this relate to us? If you do not have a plan for your child, and I'm saying you, not you like sat here, I'm using that in the third person. If you do not have a plan for your child, then your child is going to turn out the way it might just be a luck kind of thing. So if you're not directing them in any particular way, then it is likely that they are just going to float through life. Now, am I saying that, look, what are you saying, Pastor Benson? Are you saying that I have to have we thank God that maybe that's not how our lives have, maybe our parents didn't really put us in that direction, but we've turned out well, we praise God. God always has a way of getting us there. But there's a better way. Your children, your nieces, your uncle, your nephews, they don't have to struggle through life wondering what life is about the way we did. Their lives can be so pointed that they're not confused at any point in time along their journey in life. Do you understand what I mean? Now, with the permission of my daughter, I'll just mention one thing, but not anything personal. Now, talking about this, so she was about, I don't know how old she was then. Well, maybe about 8 or 9. And for us as a family, this is our own personal, I don't take anything for granted at all. I don't know, maybe it's just, I don't whatsoever. I don't leave anything to chance. So right from an early age, I'm just using this as an example, my view has been, look, God, what is it about these children? What is it about this girl? What is it about this boy? What are their giftings? What have you made them to be? And along the way, with this mindset, God told us something about her, and that was through Apostle Williams. So again, in this church, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. So Apostle one day was you know, we were in a meeting, and he said that, oh, that God has ordained that she's going to be like a judge, like a lawyer. And she was like 8 or 10. We kept it. I now began to pay attention. I now saw that, oh, this young girl has those traits. But that's not where I'm going. So along the way, as she grew up, you know, she was 15, 16, she's like a very artistic person, right? Really artistic. You see some of her artworks, and I'm her manager, by the way, so if she wants any artwork done. So it got to the point where, for her, she loves art, she likes to draw, she's very creative, she does all this music things and all that. And she was saying, Dad, for my university, I think I want to do something artistic. I don't know, maybe become an artist or something like that. And that was what she was really passionate about. She's still like that. And I said, you know what, my dear? What the Lord said about you is that you're going to be a lawyer. So I'm not saying you should dump your art. You can do that as a hobby. In fact, you can even do that as a second career, because I know you love art so much. But your primary job, as the Lord showed us, is that you're going to be a lawyer. Now, at that point, she was like, what's law? Like, what was that about? And she didn't really feel comfortable about it. It's like, man, what? Go to some, you know, you just sit in front of some people and you're making a case. Dad, I don't think that's what I really like at all. I said, no problem. Fast forward, she now, one way or the other, we, you know, I think we reached some sort of like compromise around that, you know. She gets into university where she's now studying law. She started last September. And you know, she now realized that, hang on, I absolutely love law. In fact, she's so excited about the law thing. She shows me like the cases now. Oh, Dad, I'm doing a presentation tomorrow. And she's super excited. She still draws every week, by the way. Do you understand what I mean? Now, why am I using that example, right? I'm using that example because as a parent, we were able to point her in a particular direction because we had a plan. Now, if she had gone and become like an artist, which she loves, I'm sure she would have done really good at it. But the point is that that was not what God has made her to be primarily. Do you understand what I mean? There are some people that maybe they are athletes. They're meant to be like, you know, or they're meant to be something else. Or maybe they're even meant to be artists per se. And as a parent, you're like, no. No. Maybe they're meant to be an artist. And somewhere along the line, they get convinced by their friends, like, oh, why don't you become something else? And because there's no real, should I say, plan from the parent to say, this is what you need to, this is what, you know, this is the direction that you should be going into, they just do whatever. Now, so what am I saying here? I'm just saying that for every individual that is a parent, we can help our children by not parenting them on autopilot, by sitting down and saying, okay, let's even put the career choice thing aside. It might be that your child has certain giftings in life. You as a parent, you need to sit down and find out what those giftings are. Maybe your child is an athlete. Maybe your child is creative. Maybe your child is musical. You need to find out those things and fan it to flame and support them. Do you understand? So what am I saying here? I'm saying the second point here is this. God values these children that he has given every single one of us. And like I said, even if we're not parents directly, now we have nieces, we have nephews, God values them and he doesn't want us to just take them for granted. He wants us to view their lives as being meaningful. Do you understand? Now, before I make my final point this morning, one thing that really pains my heart a lot is the way popular culture views teenagers as well. Now, what do I mean by that? Still talking about this value thing. A lot of times, I remember when our kids were still younger and they were going into the teenage years. I think my son was 16 then, or 17, and my daughter was a couple of years behind. And at work, I started this new job, and I was talking to this colleague of mine, and he said, oh, so you got kids, we were talking. And I said, oh yeah, I've got two teenage kids. And I was like, oh, wow, they must be causing loads of trouble. Man, those teenage years are really very troublesome years. You just have to be like really careful, and you know. And I almost caught myself and I said, well, not my own teenagers. Now, why did I say that? Am I saying that, you know, my kids have been angels mostly, but you know, there are times they've been a bit. But the reason I said that is because as a parent in Christ, and I don't want to sound cheeky by saying this, right? I do not have the expectation that when my children are teenagers, they're going to misbehave as popular culture expects. The Bible doesn't tell me that Matthew chapter 8, when your child reaches 13, to this thing, be careful, thou man or woman, because they will misbehave. It doesn't say that in the Bible. Do you understand? So, because Jesus doesn't have that expectation of them, I also do not have that expectation of them. My children are going to be perfect. When I mean perfect, I don't mean perfect like they're not going to misbehave sometimes. I remember when they were younger, I had to like, you know. But what I'm saying is the expectation that I have, my children are going to be great. My children are not going to misbehave. My children are not going to be out there just doing whatever. Now, why am I saying this? I'm talking about expectation here. Obviously, there are times that children are going to go a bit funny. I'll talk about that if I have time today or next time. But I'm talking about something I call expectation as a parent. So, if as a parent, your child is 5, 6, 7, and in your mind, you're expecting that when your child becomes a teenager, they're going to misbehave, you are going to project that expectation to them. That means you will begin to behave to them as if, well, I'm expecting you to misbehave anyway. But you might not know that you're doing that. And in that way, that parent is not viewing these children the same way Jesus does. Do you get what I'm saying here? So these things are so subtle. They're so subtle. They're things that we might not pay attention to. But what am I saying here? I am bringing a biblical perspective to parenting to us. That look, popular culture has views on everything, on marriage. Popular culture has views on work, on everything. People can have whatever views they want. We're not saying people shouldn't have views. That's fine. They can have whatever views. However, our views, our values have to be shaped by what the Bible says so that our children can turn out good. And where they misbehave along the way, we can bring them back. But the expectation must be there that our children have a particular life that God wants for them. So if you look at the news, like there's like, oh, these teenagers are just no good. They're always causing trouble. Teenagers, you know, they don't have anything valuable to contribute to society. They're just lazy. They don't want to go to school. They're just a burden on. That's what popular culture says about teenagers. But I disagree. I don't agree with that. So, the thing is, as a parent, I'm not their parent. I don't have any influence over a lot of people. But we can begin to do it from our own individual houses or where we have influence. Say, no, I don't have the expectation that this child is going to turn out the way society says. And when we view it that way, God can really help us. Do you understand? So, before I make the final point here, so the first point I've spoken about is valuing children and seeing them the way God sees them and having God's expectations for them, irrespective of what society is saying. And the second one is not piloting, not bringing up our children on autopilot, really being intentional, finding out what the giftings of these children are and encouraging them and supporting them. The final point I'm going to make before we pray is this. We need to ask God to give us wisdom to understand where our children are at every stage of their lives. Now, what am I saying here? One thing that we need to realize is this, and I kind of like learned that along the way as well. If you misinterpret where your child is at a particular point in time, I use that word misinterpret, you're going to make a big blunder. Now, what do I mean by that? So the third point is asking God to really help you. Now, let me take teenagers for example. When a child gets to 13, 14, physiologically, they begin to change. They are transforming to become adults. So I'm using this as an example. They're having hormonal changes in their body. Their mind is changing. They're now more conscious of themselves. They're asking themselves the question, who am I? They're trying to form their own identity separate from you as a parent. So they're trying to form their identity separate from you. Their friends are also in the same state. And they're now like, who am I really? Am I like this pop star? That's where you see all these teenagers when they're growing up, they start doing all these things. It's because they're not really sure of who they are. They're at a stage where they're metamorphosizing, they're changing. And what that does, I'm using this as an example, to teenagers is it makes them irritable and they don't really know that all these things are going on inside of them. That's why, I mean, I was reading some sad news though. There was a stat that they took, I think about kids in America, and they said that compounded by social media, that over 40% of children in America, teenagers, they diagnose that they're suffering from depression. Some of them are even suicidal. Some of them are, do you get what I mean? And people are wondering, what problem are they facing? They're not, for these kids, they're not homeless. For these kids, they're in school. So what's the problem? These kids are just lazy. Really? They're just lazy? No, they're not just lazy. For some of them, they're going through so many changes in their bodies, in their minds, that they need your help as a parent to help them understand what is going on with them. What do I mean by that? If you have teenage children or children who are becoming teenagers,
then as a parent, you need to be sensitive and sit down, understand what's going on with your child. Call your child. Hi, how are you doing? Hope everything is fine. Yes, everything is fine. And just try and help them navigate through what they're going through to let them know that, look, you're going to be feeling like this sometimes, and you just kind of like are there to support them and do not ostracize them. You're lazy. I told you, do your fix your room now. Otherwise, no. So you can do that. But how about asking, why is their room so messy? Why are they so... It could be something that is projecting from their mind. Now, am I saying we should tolerate laziness? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that we need to be discerning so that we can help our children along the way. When your child becomes 21 or 20, they're going to go through another stage. You need to be conscious. There are times that you might just need to back off and leave them alone. There are times that you might need to just not correct them at that time. Even though they've misbehaved a bit, you might just need to leave that situation for a while and come back to it. Now, why is this wisdom so important? It is important because if we do not manage our children with God's wisdom, there is a tendency that we can push them away. There is a tendency that they might misunderstand us. We might misunderstand them, and we just leave them in limbo where they are at the mercy of society. Society now teaches them all these things and ruins their lives. But as parents, we have the power because they are from us. Do you understand? So, I'm going to end there this morning, and I will continue the next part after Mother's Day. So, these things that I'm talking about this morning, I don't think they're groundbreaking. I don't think I'm saying anything that is, wow. But I'm bringing to us some very fundamental truths that if we apply them, I can guarantee us that we will see transformation in the lives of the children that we have influence over. As a parent, the gift that you have of children is the greatest tool that you have, is one of the greatest opportunities you have to shape the life of an individual, to help an individual become outstanding. Do you understand? It is a great opportunity, and God values that opportunity. But if we're going to bring up our children to be the way God wants them to be, then we have to do it God's way. And God's ways are simple, but it requires a commitment from our side. Amen. I hope you guys are not thinking now, man, this wasn't the way I was brought up, man. I was just telling someone that, you know, I will pray in a minute. So like my son, I'm quite, you know, jovial with my son. He texts me. In fact, last night he was texting me, hello, dad, this. I was like, hi, how you doing? How is Brighton and all that? And he put smiley faces and all that. And I was like, man, bless my dad. I think I can remember maybe about three or four conversations, four times that I actually sat with my dad growing up and that my dad had a conversation with me. He was a great dad. But in their time, come on, why will I be sitting with this? What? I have better things to do. My dad was a great dad. He provided for us, but in their time, it was like, you didn't sit down with children and be doing smiley faces on the phone. I mean, that's unheard of. In fact, anytime I was going to speak to my dad at that point, I'd have rehearsed everything I was going to say, make sure that my shirts properly ironed. I'm like, good morning, Dad. And my son wakes up and like, hey, how you doing, Dad? Let's go. Have you done your exercises this morning, Dad? Come on, let's go and do it. So it was a different era. So the reason I'm saying that is they did their bit. And, you know, we're grateful for how our parents brought us up, even if it's not in the selfie kind of way we do now. But why am I saying that? I'm saying that because, irrespective of now coming to us as adults, irrespective of how we were brought up, even if it wasn't in this way, the Bible tells us that God still finds a way to bring us around. So he has brought you and I around. Do you understand? He has brought us around. So this morning, I just want us to pray. And two prayers I'd like us to pray is this. One, that God will help us to be able to apply these truths for people that have children now, or even for people who are not parents, maybe the people around you, your nieces, your nephews, that God will, or your grandchildren, God will be able to help you pass these truths to them. So that's the first one. Now, the second prayer I'd like us to pray this morning is for ourselves. You know, I've come across people who they had it really bad with their parents. In fact, there's some people that I know that they don't even talk to their parents at all because they just felt that they were neglected. So the second prayer I want us to pray is to really just, if we have anything against our parents, or maybe there's stuff that they've done to us in the past, that this morning we want to say, look, they did their best. God, help me to forgive them and to appreciate that they did their best. Amen. So I'm going to ask that we rise this morning. So the first thing is, let's just pray that God help us to be able to value our children and to really bring them up the way God says. Help us to really be able to influence those around us so that they will be able to, you know, do the same, you know, for their children. So let's just reflect and just pray that God help us and help everyone, help society as well to value children. Father, we pray this morning. Father, we ask that, oh God, you will help us, give us the wisdom that we need to be able to bring up our children and even those that are not parents yet, the people who we have influence over, our nieces, our nephews, anyone that is a child that we have influence over, help us to value them. When we're in the position to direct them, help us to direct them, Father, according to your word and according to your way, in the name of Jesus. And like I said, let's just pray and just ask that anyone that maybe has like some very challenging memories about your parents, this morning we want to just drop them at the feet of Jesus and forgive and just really understand that, look, they did what they could and you're here today anyway. Father, this morning we just want to pray. Help us, oh God, to forgive maybe our parents who might have not brought us up in the way we expected. Maybe they weren't really there for us when we needed them the most. But Father, this morning we ask that you bring healing to every heart who is in that situation. Father, we ask that you will help us to appreciate that they did all that they could at that point. Father, we thank you because you are the parent of all parents. You're the father of all fathers. We appreciate you. My Father, my King, I commit everybody that is here into your hands. I commit particularly those who have children into your hands, that you will give them the wisdom to be able to bring up their children as we have spoken about today. And Father, for those who are going to be parents in the future, remind them of this in Jesus' name. Father, help us to value the children that you've put around us. Let us see them as gifts from you, not people to be tolerated, not people who have just entered our lives to make it inconvenient. Give us the proper view, I pray. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.